talking and I'm not, and I'm just and then I'm
no, but wait, wait, I have something for him.
Boom, you get shot down.
Now you're just fucking me, aren't you?
I'm just wondering why all these people like kids.
The Weird History and Eerie Tales Podcast.
Concentrating on the news. That's what we do.
Wow.
FY, there's nothing wrong.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Weird History Eerie Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Moses Sori, and with me to my left is Achi.
Hello.
And with me to my right is my brother, Josh.
Hail Satan.
And today, that's what we're going to be doing today. Hailing Satan. We are revisiting one of our older episodes, one of our first episodes, which is
the All Things Satan.
All Things Satan episode, which is Satan. A theme that we're going to be going through as we go along, you know, trying to redoing some of the old episodes, because like I said, some of those old episodes were trash.
It was version 1.0.
It was very rough. It was very rough. So, you know, and some of those subjects were some of our very favorite subjects to talk about. So yeah, that's why we're going to go back and visit them. So today, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be revisiting Satan and all of his unholiness.
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Burn in hell.
So we've all heard about the devil's sex appeal, right? We read legends and heard stories about how the devil is like dating a girl. At first, she's always in her fancy lingerie, you know, the sexy ones with the pearls on the panties. Always dolled up and saying things like, oh, daddy, you're so big and whatnot. And pretends to choke and gag and shit. Well, that's the devil as well. He always meets you when he's at his
hold
best.
Hold on. You can't just... First of all, don't you ever look at us while saying the word.
I wasn't looking at
daddy,
you guys. I was reading.
And pretending to gag and choke.
All right. No, that's what they
and
do.
That sounds
that's
like
what they do.
That sounds like it's coming from experience.
Hey, bro, it sounds like
who
a fantasy.
Or someone hurt him.
Well, that's shut up. That's the devil as well. Right, you know, that's the devil's thing. He always meets you when he's at his best.
Who was a pobre diablo?
Sure, we know him as the serpent that tricked stupid-ass Adam and Eve into biting the apple. The angel to try and deceive us. But sometimes he'll meet you as this, like, suave Casanova character who knows how to say all the right things.
Hmm.
But have you ever wondered if the man of sin himself slangs good dick? Because I know I have. Like, he must. Like, he has to, right? Like, I bet he knows. Like, he has to know how to fuck. He has to.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
How funny would it be if he doesn't know how to
fuck? I'll be disappointed. Dude, you can't be the king.
It's a topic he's so nervous about.
You can't be the king of all depravity, and your dick game is like mid.
See, that's what people assume he is.
You know what? Or maybe that's all the rumor he wants to spread out, so that way the truth isn't.
I don't know.
Yeah. He has to, like, imagine going to hell and knowing you fuck better than him. Like, imagine, like, I wouldn't shut the fuck up. He could be stuffing whole pineapples on my ass and I'd still be cracking jokes like, I bet this is still better than fucking you, huh?
Oh, gee.
I'd just be shooting, bro. Just be trying to go for the jugular.
Well, I don't know. He looks like a two-pump chump.
Well, today.
What is this club, asshole?
Like Bernie Mac said. Like, I ain't trying to impress nobody. This is a heavyweight round. And I got mine. You better get yours.
Yeah.
Well, today, that's what I'm going to be talking about. People who have claimed to have their backs blown out by the King of Chaos himself. And I'm going to start off where we all expect this to start off with.
At a whorehouse.
With the Amish.
Oh.
In 2012, right, when the world was a simpler time, there was a reality show called Breaking Amish. And it debuted.
Oh, I remember that show.
So it followed a group of Amish folk during their Rumspringa. And for those of you that do not know, Rumspringa is a rite of passage where they're able to leave the Amish community for 2 years, do whatever the fuck they want.
Oh, it's 2 years?
It's 2 years.
That was like 2 weeks.
Do whatever the fuck you want, live in the modern world, and then you come back to your Amish village and decide if you want to go back and churn butter for the rest of your life or leave.
Fuck off.
Yeah, but if you leave forever, you leave your family.
Can't come
you back. Can't come back, yeah, yeah. Right? Damn. So that's what this show did. This show followed these young men and women during the Rumspringer.
Yeah.
Were they I don't remember. Were they allowed to go inside the village?
I don't remember.
Who? Oh, the crewmen?
The crewmen?
Yeah. Well, no, well, that's the thing, though. Like, I don't know. The people leave the village for 2 years.
Right.
So these people are living in a New York City apartment.
Okay. Yeah. So crewmen followed
them.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I was like, they won't allow them to come inside, right?
I'm pretty sure they will. It's just they don't use.
Okay. You know what I mean? I got you.
So it's during the show, one of the characters, her name is Betsy Yoder, she's called the witch. From the front, you can't go. They call her a witch, and she does a bunch of weird shit.
And this is one of the Amish?
Yeah, it's one of the Amish folk.
Her name is Betsy?
Her name is Betsy. And all she does, she gets called a witch, and she doesn't understand why, but then she's always bringing up witchcraft.
Right? She doesn't know why she gets called a witch.
She's like the interviewer, she's like, I don't know why they're being mean to me. He's always calling me a witch. And then
she's turning a fucking cauldron.
And then
I don't know why they would call me a witch.
And then she's writing in red ink on folk. Like, she's really weird. Like, there's a scene where one of the Amish girls is pregnant. Right, mm-hmm. And she's told by another girl, she's like, in my village where I'm from, if you want to know the sex of the baby, we would hold a crystal above mm-hmm. your belly.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
If the crystal would spin in a circular motion, regardless what way, it's a boy. Mm-hmm. But if it'll go up and down, back and forth, mm-hmm. it's a girl. Mm-hmm. And she says, do you want to try it out? And the pregnant girl's like, yeah, let's try it out. Let's see what it does. So they get the crystal and it starts spinning in a circle. And it's the girl that's pregnant. She's like, oh my God, does that mean it's going to be a boy? And then Betsy just out of nowhere, she's like, yo, this looks like some witchcraft shit. And she brings the room down. Everyone's like, bro, why you always got to bring that shit? Like, damn. Why you always got to bring that energy? Well, it's during one of the episodes. She admits as to why she's been lighting so many candles around the house.
Oh, tell
this
us.
This is what she says.
Tell us.
I've been involved in witchcraft for quite a few years.
But she's still clueless, so why did he call her a fucking witch? Oh, man.
Probably most of my life. My connection to the spirit world is actually really, really scary to some people. This is what she says before explaining that the demons have been coming back around her since she's been away. But then she takes it a step further. I don't know if you ever heard of like having sex with something, like literally in your sleep. You wake up, you're like, whoa, what just happened? I have sex with Satan. So I tried looking for videos on YouTube, and there's supposedly she goes out and describes what it's like having sex with Satan. Yeah. That was the trailer for the episode. The trailer says like, oh, watch Breaking Amish episode Exile for her, for you to hear her description of it. Yeah. But all those videos are taken down. I can't find any videos.
Damn.
So I don't know what's her experience with having sex, you know, with the Satan, you know, with himself. The devil, and what the devil's, you know, game pipe is like. So, if anybody remembers that show, Breaking Amish, or if you guys have it on DVD or somewhere, and you guys, you know, go to the episode's called Exile. So, send it our way.
Let us know.
All right. So, another young girl who claims to have had sex with the devil. Her name is Jeanette Abadie, or Abadieu. Right? So, we're just calling her Jeanette. So Jeanette was a 16-year-old girl that lived during the Middle Ages that claims she lost her virginity to the devil during a witch's Sabbath.
Mm.
So we know of Jeanette because she gave her account to a man named Pierre, who was appointed in 1609 to a commission whose sole purpose was to try people accused of witchcraft. So in her account, she claimed that she was approached by a woman named Graciana and taken to a witch's Sabbath that was being officiated by the devil himself. And then the devil took the form of a hideous, tar black skinned humanoid with 6 to 8 horns on his head, a huge tail, and 2 faces.
He's a Gemini.
At her first Sabbath, she was required, Jeanette, to renounce God, the Virgin Mary, her baptism, family, heaven, earth, and all worldly things, and was also required to kiss the devil's nalgas. The devil made her literally kiss his ass.
Kiss my ass!
Every time she went to the Sabbath, she had to repeat this. And from time to time, she also had to kiss his face, his belly button, and his penis.
In any order?
In any order. I'm assuming you wouldn't go up down. I mean, you know, to fuck with the devil, yeah, motherfucker. You just
with the let dick. Me kiss your old dick. Let me kiss. How does dick taste, bitch?
So apparently, these witches' Sabbaths, they were fucking amazing. They had everyone perreando. They were throwing ass everywhere, dancing naked.
Slang.
And the devil, obviously, he always chose the best-looking man or woman as his dance partner. Like, these witch Sabbaths were a party. People show up, they'd be dancing naked and just doing a bunch of weird...
It's a frat party. Fucking slanging that shit all around, all night.
So there was a lot of sex at these Sabbaths. A lot of weird shit, too. Like, one of the weird things she saw was that there was this baptism of toads that, for whatever reason, this lady
toads?
Was... Toads? Of toads. They were baptizing a lady through toads. So what happened was...
Oh, through toads?
They would put four toads on her. Mm. Two on her shoulders, one on each shoulder. And she had her arms extended out and two on her wrists. And then she was just dancing just like that with toads on her, which is weird. Just a bunch of weird... I'm telling you, it was a fucking EDC. It's like Burning Man. So there was a lot of sex at these parties as well.
They're weird, too. They're weird, too.
There was a lot of incest.
Oh.
Jeanette, why'd that spark your interest, bro?
No, I said, ooh.
No, you said, ooh. So anyway, Jeanette claimed...
Play it back.
So Jeanette claimed to have lost her virginity to the devil at the age of 13. And she said she also had a lot of sex with a lot of others, including her first cousin, which back then was considered incest, which apparently that means is not considered incest now. Still gross. But she also described that having sex with the devil was painful, but also she experienced great pleasure. And do you want to know why she experienced great pleasure?
I mean.
Because the devil had a fucking 36-inch scaly fire hydrant of a dick. Not only that, but she's also described...
Okay, so she's a size queen, okay.
So not only that, she described...
We get it. Wait, what the fuck's her name?
Jeanette.
All right, Jeanette, we get it. Damn.
She also described...
It was so big.
So scaly.
She also described that his nut was icy cold.
His nut?
Was icy cold.
Hence... Never mind. Carry on.
Keep going.
So Jeanette's cervix was apparently fucking obliterated when she was getting cream pied and then getting her black blown out. So let's have a moment of silence for all the women listening to this right now who are having sex flashbacks to when they got their cervixes bruised. We'll give you gals a few moments to daydream in peace and collect yourselves. Fellas, fast forward this to the 14-minute mark because this silence is not for us. At the ceremonies, there were also a number of little demons without arms who fed a massive fire. Right?
Wait, what?
How did they feed the fire?
They themselves throw?
No, their job was to feed the fire, right?
Without arms.
Without arms. Do you know how they were feeding the fires?
How?
They were making witches throw themselves into the fire.
What the fuck?
But the witches would feed the fire and then come out at the very end, would come out at the other end unharmed.
So they would tell witches to go inside.
The fire would grow bigger than they just get out of the fire.
What the fuck? Oh, well, it's a weird party, bro.
The grand master of the witches once threw himself in, but he was actually burned to a powder, which was then used by other witches to enchant children and make them go willingly to the Sabbath. So there was this powder made of a priest that you go up to little kids and just Michael Cera'd the shit out of them and like, oh, what does this smell like? Fucking blew them in the faces and then let's just go to the Sabbath.
What the fuck?
Also at the Sabbath, She also described that there were well-known priests, some who she named, celebrating the mass at the Sabbath, with demons taking the place of saints on the altar. Sometimes the devil pierced one of the people celebrating under the little toe and sucked their blood through it. The devil did this.
The devil was doing this.
Yeah, he was poking people's pinkies, toes.
At this party.
This party and sucking the blood out. So Jeanette was telling. So Jeanette was just snitching on everybody. She goes, it was 6-9-ing everybody.
Stupid.
Literally too, huh?
So Jeanette said, however, that she had made up her mind to escape. She said for the last 9 months, she had tried to avoid being taken back and said that she had sat up on the nights of the Sabbath. However, for the first 3 months of these 9 months, the devil carried her away during the day instead. So he's like, oh, you're going to try to stay awake at night so you don't go to the Sabbath? Okay, I'll just fucking take you during the day. The devil would go to her house and just grab her like, nope, you're coming with me. And then for the 6 months after that, she would spend the Sabbath inside physically in a church where the devil could not reach her. And she said she was only tricked into going to the Sabbath 3 times when she was chilling at the church. She's like, I'm not going to go to the Sabbath. I'm going to chill in this church. You can't take me. So the devil, I can just picture the devil going like, look, I promise I won't take you to the Sabbath. Come out. We'll just chill. We'll just relax.
We'll go for a fucking cup of coffee, you know.
As long as we didn't go to the Sabbath. We're not going to the Sabbath. She walks out. He's like, psych. And actually, this happened 3 times.
Man. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. Fool me 3 times. Fool me. Can't get fooled again.
So the last occasion was on September 13, 1609. She sat up in the village church all Saturday night, and at daybreak, she had gone home to fall asleep. During high mass, the devil came to her, snatched off the protective amulet she wore around her neck, and carried her off to the Sabbath. This was the last time she went to the Sabbath, she claimed. She was lucky. The judges believed her story, that she had been coerced and had desperately tried to escape, and by confessing her sins and renouncing witchcraft, she was spared execution.
Damn, bro, how good was her pussy that Satan was like, the devil
would be like,
yo, not once, not twice, not three, but what, I'm taking your ass every day.
And like, he would go over to the church to go scoop her up.
Well, I'm going
to
ruin this conversation. Remember I said she was 13?
You said 16.
No, she was 13. Oh, no, she lost her virginity to the devil at 13.
At 13, at a Sabbath?
Yeah.
So this virgin lost her virginity in the most kinkiest,
metal
wild
metal
orgy
fested,
of
yes.
fested
yes.
cream pie by Icy Hot.
Yes.
And it was the best sex she ever had, according to her.
Well,
according to her.
Just the only sex she
had. That's the only sex. But scaly? I don't know. If I had something scaly shove up my ass, I don't think it's gonna be good.
And she has real sex. She's like, I have no idea what I was talking about before.
She's like, son, you are trash. She's like, oh, it's only 12 inches? Get out of here.
Okay.
Okay.
Imagine it's fucking 6 inch. The dude, dude's ready to fuck. She's like, are you gonna get hard for me? Imagine the ego. The fucking gosh. Shattering.
The ego.
Man, I wanna move on.
I got mine.
So,
you better get yours.
Did you guys know that according to one person, the Antichrist right now is 7 years old?
Huh? Wait. Did you know according to one person?
No, I'll say according to one person.
Did you know?
So according to one person, the Antichrist is 7 years old right now.
At this moment? ATM?
This very moment, ATM, and running around in Texas.
What the fuck?
He is seven. Yes. Or it is seven.
Yeah, and running around in Texas.
And
somewhere.
Running around, just shooting bullets all over.
Well, who knows? Maybe he's just. Maybe he's little Nicky. Let me back up a little bit. So, Satanist Isabella Miroslav claims that in 2014, the devil made her his personal Twinkie and got her pregnant. Her account, this is her account about how it happened. She said that she was praying at night. Or whatever the fuck you do to the Prince of Darkness. I don't think it's considered praying. But whatever. When he just came out of nowhere. Told her. Take off your clothes because I am going to breed you.
What the fuck?
He's like, turn around, touch your toes for me. The cheeks about to get clapped.
Satan told me I would give birth to the Antichrist and I would raise his son. Once the baby turned 12, it will become president of the United States and create a one world government.
At the age of 12?
At the age of 12.
What the fuck was I doing? What were you doing at the age of 12?
We were middle school, bro. Were we in middle school? Yeah, that was middle school.
Yeah?
Sixth grade.
I was playing with yo-yos, bro.
I was excited because I had a pair of Vans.
Damn.
First pair of Vans. And this little kid's going to take over the world.
Take over the world, okay.
So if you ask yourself, why does Satan want his son to run a one-world government?
Why?
It's a battle.
Especially at 12.
She wants to say, so he can more easily control everything and get everybody's soul. He's preparing for Jesus Christ's return, which will be in 13 years. If he owns everybody's souls, Jesus' powers will be weakened, and Satan can easily destroy him and then invade heaven, where he and his demons will kill all the angels and God. Then Satan, his demons, his son, and I will relocate to heaven.
Relocate to heaven?
They'll relocate to heaven. Everybody else will go to hell, and earth will be for all the people who believed in Satan as their king. The animals get to stay on earth as well, too. So Isabella has apparently thought of everything from what she's going to name the Antichrist. She named the Antichrist, his name's Satan Jr.
Satan Jr.?
Oh, what a fucking clever name, huh?
But the way she spelled Satan.
Oh. How's it?
S-A-Y.
S-A-Y.
Say.
Say.
Say. T-E-H-N.
T-E-H-N.
Say.
Ten.
T-H-N.
No, it's 10. T-E-H-N.
T-E-H-N?
10.
10.
That's her name.
Satan.
Satan. Because it's quirky. You know, it's a quirky way to spell Satan.
Oh, yes. Her name's Karen.
And she knows what she's going to do to protect herself.
What?
Because obviously, if she's telling the truth, motherfuckers are going to want to put a bullet in her head. This is what she goes to say about how she's going to protect herself. Satan has given me superpowers I can use against anybody who tries to harm me.
Okay.
I can shoot fireballs from my hands. I can put up impenetrable protection force fields. I can also do karate now. I haven't used any.
Why
of my
mention that? Where you throw fireballs and emit shields? Hey.
I need to see a photo of
just
this
in case you're not scared yet. I know some karate.
I need to see a photo of this bitch.
All right. She says, she's comedy. She's a comedian.
She said, I haven't used my superpowers on anybody
yet. I have no need
yet.
For it.
But if some Christian asshole tries to mess with me or Satan Jr., they will die.
I have a feeling devil himself fucked up.
The devil gave him the, hey, I'll be back in the morning.
I'll be back. I'm going to give you some superpowers.
Here's my number.
No, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to get a carton of milk. Relax. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
I fucked up.
Yep.
So, if you survive the fireballs, if you survive the force field.
If you penetrate through the force field.
She's still got a mean karate chop to knock you, the fuck out. Just crane kick him in the nose. Just crank him. Come on, bro.
Take it serious, you fuck. What are you, One Punch Man? Chill. All right. So just as there are holy relics and locations all throughout the fucking world, right? People say there are relics, places that have been blessed by our God, right? Mm-hmm. The good. There's good. There's always
evil. Yin and yang. Right?
So, there are also products that deal with the devil himself, in which he may assist or ensure that each structure will and has been completed.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a list of different areas and locations that the devil has helped create or stepped into.
Wait, what?
Starting off, we got the Devil's Bridge. One of the multiple structures located all throughout the globe, right? The Devil's Bridge, which is located in Andermatt, Switzerland. So, the story behind this. Now, according to legends and story passed generations through generations, it was hard to create this bridge because of terrain, the way it's structured. Like, there's no way we could build a bridge that could lead us into the city and, you know, wander off more far into
level difficulty 5.
Yeah, yeah. So a shepherd had no other choice. He's like, how am I gonna take my fucking animals and stuff onto the other side? I can't create a bridge myself. Mm-hmm. Right? Who do I call help for?
Ghostbusters.
No, that's for ghosts.
El Diablo.
Yep. So he called out for Satan to make a bridge via using his supernatural means, or according to Isabella, just superpowers. Yeah, you know, he's karate to build this bridge for the shepherd.
And do you think he gave him superpowers? If he did give superpowers, as a look, I'm not gonna be around, but here, still take care of yourself.
Maybe he did, and she's like, give me proof. So he gave her the powers. She was able to use it there and then. And then when he left, he's like, yeah, bitch, you ain't getting this shit. And then he laughed. So she thinks she has these superpowers. She doesn't.
Hence why she says, I haven't used them yet.
Hence why Satan's like, I fucked up.
He showed up to hell. He's like, I know. You guys were right. Yes, I know. I fucked up.
So, like I said, the shepherd called out to Satan. And Satan responded. He responded to the call, and he struck a bargain with his shepherd. Mm-hmm. He said, look, motherfucker, if I'm going to make this with my karate chops, there has to be a deal. So shepherd's like, all right, what's the deal? Well, the first person to cross a ridge would pay with their soul.
Okay.
So I don't give a fuck who crosses it, but the first individual that crosses that bridge is mine to take. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The shepherd agreed. He said, all right, do your thing. The bridge was created. All right, so that's the devil's bridge. Up next, we got the devil's footprint. This is another deal. So, according to the cathedral's own timeline, George von Hasbach sought to create a new cathedral in Munich. This guy's like, I gotta create this fucking cathedral.
Yeah.
But, I don't have enough money.
Uh-huh.
Who do I call? In Ghostbusters, Moses, it's the devil himself. Once again, someone called upon Satan himself to help create this cathedral, which is ironic, right?
The devil took the job?
I'm trying to build this house for our God, but devil, I'm going to need you to build this for me.
Imagine going to, it's not going to a drug dealer, look, I'm trying to build a police station. You think you can lend me some money so I can build this prison and this police station? That would mean a lot to me.
So George enlisted Satan as a backer. Right? As an investor. You're going to build this cathedral for me, bro.
The Wolf of Wall
Street. And the Lord of Darkness said, yeah.
Well, yeah, he recognized it. Like, there's good money in the church.
So, you know what? It's a good investment. I see your worth.
Yep. But he said, he prompted to him that he will build a cathedral without windows.
No windows.
I hate the sun. Fuck the sun. I want to be in the dark.
The Prince of Darkness for a reason, bro.
I like that.
See?
So when the construction was done, Satan stepped into the completed cathedral. He was like, okay.
Want to see his investment?
Okay. He was looking for windows. So he was pleased to see very little light and no windows. Now, there is a version. Again, this is called the Devil's Footprint. Mm-hmm. So where's this footprint? Why is there a footprint? Mm-hmm. Well, there's different stories behind it. Mm-hmm. There's one tell that he stomped his foot in glee, right? He was mad while discovering that there were windows. There was two big ass pillars or whatever. I guess George made like an optic illusion type of deal.
Where like it wasn't
at a certain angle, there was no windows, but Satan was like, found out. He's like, jig is up, asshole.
Like, well, you didn't think I would take a step to the left and see it?
Big ass windows.
Well, you didn't think I was going to see that big ass hole in the wall?
So George strategically placed these pillars, which were blocking these large windows that he's constructed. So the devil himself was super mad, fucking did a hard stomp. Until this day, the footprint can be seen on the tile on the cathedral floor. Still present after multiple renovations of the building. Damn. Now, the cathedral's version of the story contends that after Satan left his immortal print, again, left his immortal print in the floor, he attempted to rend the building, but he failed. But supposedly, right, allegedly, Satan left a demonic follower in the towers who would continue to wreak havoc on this hallowed ground. He's like, try to fuck me.
Hey, Johnny, I'm gonna need you to do me a favor. Yeah.
You see those two pillars?
You're gonna live in this pillar forever?
Fuck.
All right. What's my job? Just fuck him.
Fuck shit up.
Fuck him.
And that's known as the Devil's Footprint. And there's multiple versions locations. Yeah, and actual locations where there is a footprint.
People. Oh, there's multiple.
Yeah, so there's multiple. Yeah, and this is just one.
Yeah, fucked over many times.
Well, look how many deals people made. You're like, shit, I'm broke, but I'm desperate. Mm-hmm. So who am I gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters too. Karate chop a bridge for me, right? yeah, that because that's what they do. Moving on, we have something called the Devil's Town, located in Serbia. Right, which consists over 200 pillars of rock. What were you going to say?
I was like, that was Lin 1 in 2006.
Yep, the Devil's Town. So, consists of 200 pillars of rock that range from 2 to 15 meters in height. It just looks epic. Just big-ass fucking pointy fucking pillars. Now, the Lucasian mythology tells of the devil's annoyance with the peaceful, happy citizens in the nearby village. So he was so fucking upset that these people were so nice, so friendly, and happy. He was like, I'm going to shit on the parade real quick. That's what the devils do, right?
Damn.
You're having That's a good job. Fucking time?
Debbie Downer. Right.
So?
Who hurt you?
He made a surprise visit to this village. He's like, surprise, motherfucker. Guess who's here? So he forced the villagers to attend the wedding of a brother and a sister, a union that is qualified as a sin for which the villagers were then culpable. So it's like, hey, I'm gonna force y'all to attend this major sin that y'all attended. Yeah, that y'all created.
Sinners!
So one end to the legend claims that the villagers prayed for God's assistance and received a fucking brainstorm that turned all of the wedding guests into the stone formations we see today.
Oh, shit.
So those big-ass stones that you see there in this location called...
Devil's Town?
Yeah, the Devil's Town. Is that
where actually the people?
Is that where the people.
Is that where the saying, sorry to rain on your parade, came from?
Sure. The devil himself created that thing.
That's crazy.
Now, there's another version that alternates the story that villagers conceded. They're like, all right, sure. We don't see any wrongdoings, right? Just the wedding, mm-hmm. right? And, the heaven heard about it. He's like, oh, you guys agreed to this.
So you're telling me...
You guys, without any restraint, right? Or any will to fight against the devil himself, you agreed to his
Oh, so y'all think marrying your sisters and cousins is okay, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, and so heaven was like, God was like, nah, all right, I'm going to send a storm as a punishment, which made them into stone. So there's two versions of it.
So it's either the devil got freed, did it.
Yeah.
Or God did it.
Damn. All right, up next, we got another devil's footprint. This footprint is located in Maine. So a couple of years ago, right, a crew of workers building a road in Maine encountered a large boulder on their site that they could not budge. They use machinery. They use all types of stuff to get this fucking rock to move. And it wouldn't move. Right? So allegedly, one of the workers climbed to the top of the boulder, right, and promised his own soul tell the devil if it could be moved. Look, I'm just saying, I don't think this company is worth it. I'm not going to be like, yo, first of all, he could have prayed to God first. Right? There's so many options. Right?
Please, Satan.
This genius, he was like, fuck it. Fuck my soul. I love this company. Dear devil, I will give you my soul if you can move this fucking rock.
This dude's working in construction, and the first time he faces adversity, he's like, oh, nope, send my soul to the devil.
It's too hard.
Bro, that's over. Do you know how much overtime he could have had?
Hey, for real?
Well, he's going to have a lot of overtime in hell.
He didn't think about it. He didn't think it all the way through.
He wasn't thinking at all. Unless...
Is he, what was her name again?
Isabella.
Is he Isabella's husband?
No. I mean, he probably could have used Isabella's help with her superpowers.
Yeah, superpowers. You know, fire. She could do that shit, you know? Or karate chop the boat out the way. Because, you know, she's recently learned karate. So she's eager to fucking use her chops, bro.
Hey, do you think the devil ever shows up and, like, when someone trying to make a deal, do you think he shows up to this guy? The devil shows up like, really? This is what she's going to sell yourself for? This shit? You're not asking for a country? You don't want me to turn this rock into a gold?
I feel...
You just want me to push... Just move it out the way?
He goes over and she's like, yeah. Sure.
I feel like he says that... Like, he has his own counselor. Where he expresses these emotions to...
Yeah, he has a therapist.
A therapist, right?
It's like, I don't even know... It's like,
I work...
It's like, do they even try anymore? It's like, they're not even... Like, not even fun for me anymore. It's like, now this feels like a job. Now this is work. And it's affecting my home. I'm taking my work home with me. It's just... It's a lot of stress.
I want to see a series of this.
It's a lot of stress. You know,
the devil's therapy. You know, like, that's what we're going to call the show.
Yeah, the devil's therapy. The
devil's
yeah.
therapy.
You know, like first, God writes this book. The whole book is him talking shit about me. I didn't do nothing.
I'm the asshole.
I haven't said one word and I'm the bad guy.
I picture this like being played out like The Office.
Right? He's like, and now these guys, I think they're pointing fun at me.
You know?
Yeah, before
rocks, open fucking pickle jars. You know?
I remember.
I'm pretty sure someone's out there. Yo, dear Satan, please.
Like, I remember.
I need my pickles.
I remember at one point, I used to be feared. People wouldn't even say my name. Now they want me to move rocks for them. That's what happened after you moved the rock.
Well, after the.
You chucked it.
After the worker was, you know, sold his fucking soul to the devil, mysteriously the next day, right? The boulder had indeed moved. And the worker, guess what?
Disappeared.
Died.
Was nowhere to be found.
Hell yeah.
He gave his life for this boulder. So, aside from how strangely this boulder was moved, co-workers, the remaining crew, they came across the boulder and they analyzed it. And out of curiosity, they saw two reddish imprints left in the stone. So the footprints is what they call the devil's footprint. So it looked like he kicked the shit. Like he drop kicked the rock or something.
He was mad. He's like, fuck this shit.
I'm upset. Boom. Yeah. So the boulder bearing these indentations of the devil's footprints sits as part of a cemetery's fence near Maine's North Manchester Meeting House. Locals claim now, there's ghostly apparitions that stalk the cemetery where the devil's footprint or this boulder is located at. Mm.
Do you think if you put your handprint where the devil
footprint is,
you think it'll burn you?
Think you'll feel that warmth?
You should, right?
What if that was a test? If you feel the burn from your hand, that means you're a saint. But if you don't, probably call you devil servant, kill you.
Why does this feel good? This feels amazing.
At first, my segment was going to be satanic rituals, but apparently it's fucking hard to find like actual like manuals or descriptions that tell you how to do a ritual.
Also, rituals 101.
Also, I don't think you want to be responsible of telling people how to summon the devil.
Which, I mean, to each their own. But I kind of want to see like what these are, because you always hear about this like in reports, like, oh, there's remnants of a satanic ritual, and I always wonder, well, what the fuck is a satanic ritual? Like, what does that mean?
How do
like,
you know?
How do you know exactly? Yeah. How do you know what
it
is?
Have you checked the dark web?
Yeah, you know. Oh well, no.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Last time I tried doing that, I fucked up my computer, so I'm never going back there again.
I just fucking use Sony's tablet. You good.
Nah.
Just go incognito.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's how it works.
I'm
pretty sure that they gave me a warning like next time. What did pop up though a lot was the Satanic Panic. And so in the 1980s, the Satanic Panic saw a Christian fundamentalist push the idea that satanic cults were systematically abusing children in rituals and committing widespread murder, and successfully convinced the general public through sensational news coverages. Christian groups typically misinterpreted the church beliefs and the practices in order to fabricate a real-world villain behind the conspiracy of the media. So, for example, the serial killer Richard Ramirez, a.k.a. the Night Stalker, right?
Correct.
When finally captured in 1985, claimed to be a Satanist, employing satanic symbolism to his look and claiming to know LaVey, adding fuel to the fire of the panic. LaVey claimed that they did briefly meet in the streets in the 1970s, but Ramirez had never once set foot in the church. And the panic escalated with satanic ritual abuse becoming a standard aspect of high-profile cases like the McMartin School in California. These criminal cases featured a consistent lack of evidence and alleged coercion on the part of the child psychologists pushing the conspiracy theory. The zeal of the fundamentalists led to view in any investigations or prosecutions of actual Satanists. Most of the victims of the frenzy were other Christians. So basically, the Satanic Panic was kind of like a means to push your reason and why something happened because of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, there's lots of cases where people are saying, this dude killed his wife and killed his children, but it wasn't through his own means. It was because the devil made him do it. And that was the big thing. Like, there was no one thought of it as like, you know what? Maybe this guy was...
Maybe he's just a piece of shit.
Maybe he's just a piece of shit and he wanted to just do it for that reason. Like, no, it has to be the devil. And the earliest wave of satanic ritual abuse cases began in Kern County, California in 1980. In Bakersfield, social workers who have read Michelle Remembers learned of the clandestine local occult sex ring from two children who had been coerced into fabricating the claims by a relative. Between 1984 and 1986, the investigation into these labyrinth claims would send at least 26 people to jail. In interrelated convictions, despite a complete lack of physical evidence for any of the claims, nearly all the convictions have since been overturned, including the one man who served 20 years of a 40-year sentence, and those of two parents who were sentenced to 240 years in prison after their own sons were coached to accuse them of abuse. This template of spiraling investigation, wild claims, no evidence will remain consistent for more than a decade throughout the subsequent wave of failed prosecutions of satanic ritual abuse in daycares and schools across the U.S. Among them was the disastrous McMartin trial that I mentioned earlier, which became and remains the largest, longest, and most expensive trial in California history. In 1983, one parent accused one of the staff members of the McMartin preschool in Manhattan Beach, California, of abuse. During the investigation, police allowed an unlicensed psychotherapist named Key McFarland to conduct examinations of 400 children who attended the daycare. McFarland famously used anatomically correct dolls, resulting in a staggering 321 counts of child abuse being leveled against 7 daycare staff members by 41 children. The eyebrow-raising claims include allegations that the daycare owners had built secret underground tunnels that led to ritual ceremonies, had ritually sacrificed a baby, flushed children down toilets, and could turn into witches and fly.
Well, how the fuck do you flush a baby down the toilet?
These are all...
Chop that motherfucker up?
No, these are all accusations.
Hmm.
So when they were investigating, they're like, wait, what?
Yeah. They flushed down babies.
Well, because these are the kids telling the stories.
Yeah.
So the kids are the ones like, yeah, they flushed babies down the toilet.
Yeah, they made us go through these tunnels and, you know, we're doing all these rituals and shit. And after 6 years of investigation, litigation of a 5-year trial, the case ultimately, essentially, evaporated due to lack of evidence. One by one, all charges against the daycare staffers were dropped, and the McMartin preschool building was razed in 1990. By the mid-80s, a wave of seminars, tutorials, and educational videos for authorities and evangelicals on the subject of recognizing and fighting satanic cults were sweeping the U.S. law enforcement in El Paso, Texas, were promptly dispatched to a ritual crime seminars. Journalist Debbie Nathan recounted in 2003. These were classes aimed at law enforcement authorities and taught mostly by other cops, therapists, preachers, and by born-again Christians claiming to be former high priests or escapees of unspeakably Satanist ritual torture cults. And in 1992, the Justice Department thoroughly debunked the myth of satanic ritual abuse cult. But though accusations of satanically motivated child abuse rituals had pretty much died out by the mid-1990s, law enforcement continued to treat Satan as a potential criminal indicator, as we see in the 1994 police training video, The Law Enforcement Guide to Satanic Cults. So I didn't fucking know this, but law enforcement basically came up with a guide. And they came up with this guide letting you know, if you see this symbol, this is what this means. If you see this color, this is what this means. If you see cum in the cadaver, this is what this means.
Yeah.
Literally a whole fucking manual letting you know. So you're
able
to
distinguish what's a regular crime and what's a satanic crime.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is how to differentiate how you're going to deal with certain things.
Yeah. Mm. So that way people don't automatically assume that's a ritual of Satan, blah, blah, you know? Because there are so many things. Like, bro, there's one that I saw that I was like, what the fuck? It was the... Where were you? If you see FTW, the symbol of fuck the world, which is an old biker's terminology, FTW. If you see the symbol ACDC, it's a symbol of Antichrist / Devil's Children, but it's also a heavy metal musical group. If you see the word Ozzy, it's a symbol for Ozzy Osbourne, a madman of heavy metal and former singer of Black Sabbath. If you see the symbol KISS, KISS is a heavy metal musical group. So they literally had to spell out every single thing. Because at that point, anything and everything could be seen as satanic.
Bro, like, I don't know if you're going to touch upon it or how they went after Magic the Gathering. They went after Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything. They went
after...
Remember Harry Potter? When Harry Potter first came up, they thought that Harry Potter was...
Who's they? The church?
People that are... They're in power, they're in control of things. Like,
yeah.
People are like, oh, they're teaching children about black magic. Like, just people, like
a lot of governors, media,
you know, just dumb governors who are super Christian, super right wing, super Christian.
Because I don't know if you remember when Harry Potter first came out, the first book, Sorcerer's Stone.
No, I don't know.
I forgot. I think it was called the Philosopher's Stone or something like that. But it was something else, and the author had to change it. Had to change it because they had a lot of accusations saying, like, oh, this is a devil's magic book or something like that. And they warned a lot of parents to, like, stay away from those books. But then you read it, you're like, what the fuck? Where does the devil come into play at all? You remember seeing those news stories at all?
Nah, dude. To be frank, I give no shits about Harry Potter. So,
I mean, it was all over the fucking news.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Because when did that book come out? Are you guys big fans of Harry Potter?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. You'll dress up?
I don't dress up for anything.
But would you dress up? If somebody invited you...
I don't dress up for anything.
To Harry Potter...
I don't care if they invited me to the Black Dollar Murder Show and I have to dress up like the Black Dollar Murder. I wouldn't do it. It's just not my thing. But I like it a lot. Just dressing up is not my thing.
Do you know how... Since he got the beard, fuck's his name?
Hagrid?
Yeah, you look just like him.
I'm saying that I look like Hagrid's fucking Mexican cousin.
Yeah, there you go.
So it was known as the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, right?
The Philosopher's Stone.
1997 is when the book was released.
The Philosopher's Stone. Yeah. Well, it's that thing where you turn magic, you know, you turn...
Because it was dark magic.
It's just as magic.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had to change it from the Philosopher's Stone to
the Sorcerer's Stone.
The Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that time. And then, like you were saying earlier, heavy metal bands were also being accused for that. Like, even, I know a famous case was the one with Judas Priest.
Judas Priest, the suicide one.
Yeah, that a kid committed suicide.
Two kids committed suicide listening to the same song.
Yeah.
And then they got... And then KK Downing, I think it was the guitarist's name. He's like, look, we're not smart enough to do that. I can't even spell suicidal. I can't even spell suicide, to be honest. And they're like, all right. And obviously, it was thrown out. The case was thrown out. But it was a real thing.
They went to court.
They went to court and it was everything.
And you know who fucking saved everyone's fucking asses when it came to heavy metal bands? It's gonna be a whole different fucking episode. But the singer from Twisted Sisters.
Yeah, well, that's when they were going after all the metal bands trying to censor everybody
and censorship
and stuff.
Yeah.
He came after he came a little after the Satanic Panic. But like the thing is, like, bands played up on it too though. like bands are like, yeah, you know, yeah, they're putting up on it. Like,
they fucked with it because, you know, you're like, oh, you're calling us out on it? Fuck it, we'll run with it.
Look at fucking Glenn from Deicide. Like, he burned an inverted cross into his fucking forehead.
And so it came to the point where, like, they started calling this the satanic ritual abuse because there are so many people calling out, oh, that's this, that's a satanic ritual, that's a satanic ritual, that's a satanic ritual. And so here are, like, a few accounts of some of the things that played into this role of the satanic panic. So, for example, in 1985, there was a 2020 segment that aired called The Devil's Worshippers. In 2089, Oprah Winfrey hosts a show on child sacrifice and feeding into the satanic panic.
Oprah?
Oprah. Yeah. 1991, yeah. Sally Jesse Raphael airs a story on the devil babies. 1992, police patrol the streets of Martinsville, Canada, with assault rifles because the rumors that Satanists are coming to attack the town. 1993, HBO's Search for Deadly Memories airs a documentary that shows techniques used in efforts to find memories that are unknown to the patient. The program featured many doctors and quote-unquote experts who provide credibility for its notions. And then 1993, the 2020 show also suggested the children in accepting and believing stories. So just back-to-back-to-back accounts are just like, here are some of the things that happen that people made accusations of. The devil made me do it, or this is a thing by the devil. And it's still happening to this day. Like, for example, Lil Nas, he's also playing on, or Lil Nas X was also playing on the whole satanic thing. I didn't know until, like, literally today that the, what's that?
The devil Montero
song? Call Me By Your Name song? It's a freaking whole thing just playing on the row of.
Yeah, the devil's giving him a lap dance. Or yeah, he's giving the devil a lap dance.
He's giving the devil a lap dance.
I mean, because he's already saying, like, you guys already hate me because I'm gay.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it. You really want to hate me? Let's do this. And then he's playing up on it.
And then he came out with some freaking, some collab shoes called the Satan shoes. And they contain 60cc ink of red blood, or of red ink and then one drop of blood. Human blood.
Of his blood? Well, I don't know if it's his blood, but.
Yeah. You know how much these things went for?
How much?
$1,018.
That's not bad.
And they sold out. They sold out.
The fucking, like, you showed me the box is amazing. The
box is dope, bro.
The box is amazing.
The box is pretty
sick. And Nike was like, yeah, go for it.
No.
So I was like,
Nike suing him.
Yeah.
Because he bought the shoes himself. And then did it after.
Whoever this, the MSCHF that collab with him, I guess, was in charge of doing the remake of it. So they're
so he bought the product and then
they're 1997 Air Max Nikes, and so he got those shoes, sent it to this dude, and he's like, "Hey, I want you to make me some Satan shoes," and then that's what they came out with.
I think that's how it went. I don't know if
something like that, but yeah,
it's all third Nike and doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. Nike's like, "You did fucking what?"
Yeah, Nike came out and made what is it called?
A
statement saying like, "We did not collab with them at all. This was not under." Our like
code of conduct, we have nothing to do with it. Yeah. We love Christ,
but yeah, that happened. And then, like, recently with the whole thing with Astroworld,
that's
its own thing on its own. But they're saying that
it's a ritualistic sacrifice, and a bunch of stuff.
But a lot of people that were making these accusations are, at least from what I'm hearing from the sources, is that are all right wingist QAnon or QAnon people who are adding fuel to this. And so, like, back to back, now there's articles saying, hey, this is not an occult ritual. Whatever these fuckers are saying, there's no proof or evidence that this is happening. Just it like, still is.
Now, yeah, do you think the devil's pissed?
Oh, the devil.
He's getting credit for not doing the work.
Well, that's the thing, right? Right. We go back to his origin, right? He's a fallen angel. He was once an angel, right? He was once served in heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, why did he get sent from heaven to fucking down to earth and hell? Mm-hmm. Right? Because he questioned the unquestionable, right?
He's like, really? To God. And then God's like, yeah, really?
Right? He questioned the authority of God.
Happy man?
Maybe devil's a nice guy.
Oh, I see what you mean.
If he's a nice guy, he'd be like, what the fuck?
Exactly. Still?
I fucked up once a million years ago. Y'all never let me live this down. I just said no to him once.
You go to hell, and it's the funnest place in the world.
That's what I would assume, right? You're part of the team. Why would you punish someone who's part of your team?
And the Wi-Fi in here jumping, bro.
That shit, what? Here are some alleged, right? Alleged, I repeat, alleged satanic symbols that are hiding in plain sight.
Mm.
Some of you may know or may not know these symbols. And here is a list, starting off with number one. Everyone's favorite. Everyone's go-to fucking a park to go to. A theme park, right? Disneyland. The Walt Disney logo, to be more specific.
What about it?
So according to, you know, people, they're saying that the Walt Disney Company logo famously, right, is on his Walt Disney signature, represent a series of three sixes.
Oh, the signature, the Walt Disney.
Walt Disney signature. You're like, really? Well, where are these alleged 666? Well, the different people have different pinpoints on where exactly the three sixes are at. Mm-hmm. So starting off, some are saying it's at the beginning of Walt, the W,
mm-hmm.
right? There is, you can see right here, I'll show you the picture later in our IG where it's highlighted here in a W. It's highlighted on the dot of the letter I.
Mm-hmm.
People also assume that it's as well inverted six on the letter D in Disney.
Okay.
And lastly, on the Y. It's all highlighted, and that represents 666. So if you didn't know this and you're a big fan of Walt Disney and this shit's in your parade, I mean, well, then,
hey, Disneylanders, you know, it's a cult, bro.
Not even Disney. Bro, Marvel's, everything's owned by Disney, bro. We're fucked.
Yeah, we're all cultists.
He's like, yeah. Next on the list, we got the White House.
What? What?
Yes, the White House.
The White, I heard why.
The White House.
Y2K House.
Now, if you glimpse in God's view,
okay.
The White House in Washington, D.C., you'll see a massive five-pointed star with the White House sitting directly at the tip of it.
Oh.
So,
I want to see this map.
Which is ironic because, as people say, politics is a tool of the devil.
Oh, that's what you did there.
Next goes to all of our Starbees, aka Starbucks fucking fans. The Starbucks Circle.
Okay.
All right. The logo of the worldwide coffee chain seems to reference the Order of Baphomet.
Forget it's worldwide.
Right? Dude. One of the many offshoots of Satanism. Specifically, the spacing of the stars and the Dobro Circle shield design look very similar to this. Coincidence? Maybe. Up next, we got the Statue of Liberty. Yes, the Statue of Liberty. Now, according to some theories, the Lady Liberty is reportedly a satanic idol of a false god that was gifted to America by the French Freemasons. They're like, yo, let's troll these motherfuckers real quick. It's a false god.
Well, it's not even troll. Remember, there was Freemasons in the government. So it's like Freemason to Freemason.
That is true.
It was, yeah. I like the troll one better, though. Like, they're not going to know.
Here you go.
Yeah, yeah, if it's a free statue. So yeah, yeah. It's 1,000 feet tall.
To this day, the French people are like,
we're just lingering for these statues.
They're just chilling. Every time they see the Statue of Liberty, they just look at each other.
You know, right?
It's an inside joke.
Okay, so the statue tells the American people that liberty is gained from the individual and other cultures, not from the Christian God they believe. Next up on the list. The peace symbol. I repeat, the peace.
I do this a lot.
Symbol.
And just so you know, I have a freaking, I'm wearing a hat right now with a peace sign.
With the peace symbol.
So tell me, what does this mean? What does this mean?
It's very appropriate because of the subject matter for today's episode.
I see what you did there. You did your research, you know, ahead of time. And, well, here you are.
Well, tell me.
All right. So some scholars of symbolism say that by giving the two-finger peace symbol,
palm forward.
Okay. Yep. You're making the Hebrew letter of V. Of V. Mm. You're like, why? What the fuck does this have? Okay, I'm doing your V. Well, which stands for now. So the letter V stands for now. Okay, what the fuck does this have to do with the devil himself? Well, now is one of the names for the Satan, for Satan himself in the Brotherhood of Satanism. So that's his nickname. That's one of his names. Now. You do the V.
I think it's Nail.
Nail.
Is it Nail or S?
Nail. Just Nail. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
N-A-I-L.
Like,
N-A-I-L.
Okay, okay.
So you do a peace symbol, which represents V.
I'm just throwing up Nail.
Yeah. So you're throwing up Nail, which is throwing up the name of Satan himself.
Dang. I'm myself as I'm throwing up the...
All the kawaiis out there.
All the kawaiis, bro. Now, this will caught me by surprise.
Oh, what you got?
The dot inside of a circle.
Dot like, inside of a circle.
A dot inside of a circle. What the fuck? Okay, well, you've probably seen this symbol all the time without even realizing it. Corporations like CBS, Target, and Circular Logic feature logos that put a spin on this design. But what does it mean? Right, CBS News, right on the starting of right before it says CBS, there's an eye, a circle with a little fucking dot in it. Mm-hmm. The dot inside of a circle stands for God Lies Within, a notion in direct opposition to the Christian God who lies outside of humanity until accepted by them. So what does this mean? This means that the dot inside suggests that man himself is his own God.
That goes against
Christianity because we're not gods.
There's only one God.
Yeah.
And it ain't you.
It's Meg Thee Stallion.
Isabella. She got superpowers.
She's the mother of the Antichrist. She's not a God.
She's not a God. She's giving birth to a God.
The Antigod.
The Antigod.
Okay. Okay. Up next, for all my Google Chrome users out there who love the browser, I hope this doesn't change your perspective on it.
It's a dope ass browser.
But according
after to this, people, I'm going to start using the fucking one Google, that comes with my age with the computer.
Microsoft Edge?
Yeah, I'm going to start using that.
This is bullshit. So Google allegedly and blatantly place three sixes in the logo of the Google Chrome browser. You may not see it at first, but once you analyze it and you just fucking squint for a couple of minutes, it's hard to miss. Each color marks a different number six.
I can't unsee it. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, yeah. So if you do not want to ruin your browser, do not stare at it for so long. And if you
I like my browser a little more now.
You're screwed.
It's like I'm, you know, it's a little edgier.
It's a little edgier?
Ooh. You like it because it's edgy? Ooh. It's how?
Ooh. Now that's what I'm going to think about every time I click on
Google Chrome.
Ooh. I was just like, I'm feeling a little naughty.
You know what?
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah. Thank you. Ooh. The fuck says that? Up next. The Heineken Star. The Heineken in which we talk, you know, beer. Heineken beer.
Yeah, Heineken beer. Heineken.
Now, the red star may not be angled like a classic pentagram, but the aesthetic similarities are undeniable. The company's website simply notes that the star was first used on the beer's label in the 1930s. But that does explain, like, hey, we're not using or comparing it to the Devil Star itself.
I feel like they're reaching for that one. That one's a little reach for me.
Yeah, think so?
Starting a circle.
It's like, man, it's not too edgy for you?
No, it's just like...
It's dumb.
It would have been more interesting if Heineken kind of leaned in on it. Yeah, and so what? Like, so? every time you pop the fucking cap off of fucking Heineken, you just hear, Satan.
You just... Satan.
Ooh. Ooh. I'm never opening that fucking can. Hey, can you open it for me? But, you know, in the other room, we still hear it. Ooh.
You hear it in your ear?
Yes. Fuck. But we're going to end it with a drink as well. We drink a lot. I drink a lot. Mold drink a lot. You.
I live off of it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I live off of it.
I think you got more of this drink than blood in your system.
I am more Monster Energy Drink than human at this point.
There it is. The Monster Energy Drink logo. So this is one of the first symbols that I can recall.
This was around during MySpace.
This is this is definitely Satanic Panic.
Yeah, and there was a
viral video.
A viral video of a lady explaining. Oh yeah, right?
I remember explaining
that one. That's so cringy.
The devil symbolism behind the Monster Energy logo. You're like, I still don't see it.
Right.
Here it is.
It's an M.
So the Monster's logo is styled as three claw marks forming an M.
Right.
Right. We clearly see that. Hence, see three claw like monster, right? Monster, right?
Right.
When people assume a monster, you think it's a three claw or something like that, right?
But
it's
monster. Yeah, of course.
But some people theorize that these are actually the three repeated symbols of Vav, which is the Hebrew symbol for six. So, when you put these together, what do you get?
18. Oh, 666.
Yeah, we're not adding here. Right? We're not adding. We're just putting them close together.
666.
And you get 666. Now, what does this number represent? It represents the number of the
beast.
Beast. And 666. There you have it.
You know what's funny? All these accusations, I'm pretty sure, are from Christian people.
Who else is going to want to fight the devil? Not me. He makes everything a little more naughty.
Ooh.
Ooh. How much?
Ooh.
Let's talk about goats for a moment.
Goats.
Right. No.
Greatest of all time?
Michael Jordan? No, I'm not talking about the Black Dahlia murder, LeBron James, or what we do in the shadows.
Okay, okay.
I actually want to talk about goats, like the animal, and why they are the satanic animal. Because from ancient art to music, the animal, the goat, has been depicted as a satanic animal. But do you guys know why this is?
All I know is that because that was the animal that was shown in the freaking in the pentagram.
But why was it chosen for the pen?
That's as far as that goes.
Oh, that's as far as you go?
That's as far as
that goes. Every time I hear a goat, I picture the 40-year-old virgin.
The Indian guy?
Oh, okay.
He says every time. He's like, man, why do you gotta tell me to fuck a goat every time?
Why you always gotta tell me to fuck a goat, man?
Go fuck a goat. Okay.
First of all, it ain't that kind of party, all right?
Go fuck a goat.
Yeah. Why you always telling me to fuck a goat, man?
Well, listen up and get ready to become the popular guy at your company's upcoming Thanksgiving party.
I feel like I'm going to be that one meme. No one knows what the actual goat means.
So let's go way back to the Greeks.
Oh, damn. We're going back.
Back. So when we think of Pan, the Greek god, and you're my age, you'll think of Danny DeVito from when he voiced Pan in the Hercules movie.
No wonder he's... Oh, my gosh. That That blew my mind.
Zeus, the big guy, he's your daddy. Mr. Lightning Bolts, read me a book, would you, Dada? Zeus, once upon a time.
It's the truth.
Please.
And for the most part, that depiction of Pan was correct. Nobody really associates Pan with the Christian devil because of who Pan was or is. He liked chilling in the fields, taking naps in the middle of the day, and just jammed out at night. He looked over herders and hunters. He was also a very sensual kind of god, and he was depicted a lot chasing after nymphs and just being drunk, which seems innocent enough for the most part. He was just doing his own thing, jamming out, taking naps, every once in a while chasing girls, you know, just Pan being Pan. But this is also why Pan didn't sit well with the new and upcoming Catholic Church.
Uh-oh.
So in the year 325, the Catholic Church just unanimously decided that Jesus Christ was a divine being and was almost one in the same as God. So any other deity was considered fake.
Trash.
So, whole-ass Christian theologists like Baby Dick Eusebius, he began talking spicy about Pan and slowly but surely started warping Pan's identity from this natural free-wheeling, like, air guitar-playing guardian into some, like, some sort of demon. And it's around this time that the Catholic Church started, on purpose, linking paganism to sinfulness. And according to Greek historians, Pan perished during the reign of Tiberius, which is around 14 to 37 AD. But whether or not they were talking about the literal end of Pan, or like the literal ending of when people followed Pan as he died as a deity, that didn't matter, because Christians heard, oh, this is when Pan died, cool, and they ran with it. So Hoaz Eusebius, he explained that Jesus Christ was alive when Pan passed away, and he gave credit to Jesus Christ for killing Pan and all the other pagan deities that they then started calling demons. And this is what Eusebius wrote. The final proof of demons' weak nature is shown by their extinction, which can only be dated from the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For from the time when the world of the gospel began to pervade all nations, the oracles began to fail, and the demon and the end of demons are recorded. So he was saying, look, all these fake gods, all these demons started dying when Jesus Christ came to earth. So because they're fake and they're not Jesus Christ, they were actually demons. They're not gods. They were demons acting like gods. So paganism is sinfulness because they follow demons. So as Christianity began to spread and become bigger, paganism started to become a cardinal sin. The Catholic Church hated paganism so much that they turned on themselves.
Uh-oh.
So have you guys heard of the Templar Knights?
Yeah.
Right? Well, by the 13th century, the Templar Knights were literally the baddest and strongest motherfuckers in Europe. Like the church, the Templar Knights' mission in the beginning was to be soldiers of Christ. But then, eventually, they saw that they could make some money on the side, and then they decided to go into the business of banking. And they were fucking good at it. They were so rich that they lent money to the king of France to fight a war.
Cash rules everything around me, creep.
But it was same king that fucked the Templar Knights.
Nice.
Because when King Philip IV couldn't pay back his debt to the Templars, he found a genius way to settle the debt. I'll just kill them.
Fuck them.
So he accused, he accused the Templar Knights of worshiping a different deity called Baphomet, and had them taken into custody. The Templar Knights were interrogated and tortured, forced to give false confessions, as we've learned by now by doing so many episodes. So word of this spread, word of this evil Baphomet got out, and just like that, the association and depiction of Pan and Baphomet morphed into one evil, sinister adversary of God. At this point, Baphomet and Pan, they were the same fucking thing. Remember, Pan was this little short, sometimes he was in the Hercules movie, he was a little short, half man, half goat. The Baphomet, all man, except for his head. His head was just the head of a goat. So Christianity is getting bigger and taking root in Rome, and the new converts to Christianity, they were foaming at the mouth to get rid of all other gods. So this is when Pan's little horny drunk self had become an easy target for the church. And his image of half goat, half man, quickly became synonymous with temptation and lust. Because he was always drunk and he was always chasing these nymphs.
Ooh. He's one little horny dude.
And just like Danny DeVito. And just like that, just like that, the devil himself was not being depicted with goat-like features. And now, simply put, from here going on forward, anything with horns was now considered evil. So this is where we start seeing the devil with horns, with claws. Because before he was just an angel. Long hair.
He was a beautiful cat. He was a good. He was an angel.
He was Alucard from fucking Castlevania.
Again, I'll be mad as fuck. They're lying about me. They're depicting me as something that I'm not.
That's bullshit. I'm beautiful. I'm this beautiful angel. You saying I look like a fucking farm animal?
I'm over here chilling.
Fuck you. So believe it or not, the Brothers Grimm also have a lot to do with the connection between goats and the devil.
Really?
So we all know they put out children and household tales, which became the Grimm fairy tales, which are really macabre and really gruesome stories. And they put out a lot of these fucking fairy tales because one out of the 211 original fairy tales that they put out, they suggested why goats were associated with the devil. The story was called The Lord's Animals and the Devil.
The Lord's Animal and the Devil.
So in this fairy tale, it tells the story of how the devil created goats and bit off their tails after they got tangled in a brush. Now, when they went to pasture, they generally remained caught in the hedges by their tails. Then the devil had to go there and disentangle them with a great deal of trouble. This finally enraged him, and at last he went and bit off the tail of every goat, as may be seen to this day by their stump. So as we know now, goats today don't have a stump, they have a stump. Why? Because the devil bit off the tails out of all of the goats. Right? Because he was, these goats were just walking through bushes and they kept getting caught, and the devil got tired of fucking untangling them. He's like, man, fuck this! And he just literally
chop, chop, chop,
just bit him off.
Bite him off. I mean, why biting though? I'm good.
He's a kinky fool. Didn't you hear all the stories?
So, God then gets mad. How are you going to fuck up my
goats?
Why are
you fucking with my goats?
So then he sends wolves to take out the devil's goats. He's like, look, fuck your goats. The only goats that are going to be around here are my goats. So God sends a pack of wolves to eat them. But he tells the devil, look, I have to do it just because I don't want you having animals. But don't worry about it. I'm going to pay you back. So God promises to pay the devil back for killing his goats when all the leaves fall from the trees. But God being a dick, there's one tree in Constantinople that never loses its leaves. So the devil gets mad for getting played. The God's like, look, I'll pay you back for the goats. As soon as all the leaves fall from every tree, I'll pay you back. Come to me and I'll give you your money. The devil's like, all right. And then he finds out there's a tree in Constantinople that never loses its leaves. So the devil's like, motherfucker.
He fucked me once again.
I'm gonna fuck it again.
So, you know who's turning into the mischievous fuck now?
That's what I'm saying. There's a quote in the book called Paradise Lost, where Satan himself is like, I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. Mm. I'm like, God damn. God, I said God damn. See, there it is. There it is.
So
crazy.
So after getting played,
yep,
this is what the devil did. Well, according to the story.
For the 20th time.
In his rage, he plucked out the eyes of all the remaining goats and put in his own instead. This is why all goats have the devil's eyes and their tails bitten off, and why the devil likes to assume their shape. This is why they say, like the witch, Black Phillip, that's why the devil's able to take the form of goats, because they have his eyes and things of that nature. So things kind of stayed the same until 1854, when the French occultist Levy released two of his grimoires, with one of them having his reimagined version of the Baphomet. Because remember, before, the Baphomet was just a dude with a goat head.
Yep, yep.
In his grimoires, he reimagined and he drew his own version of the Baphomet. And he called his version of the Baphomet the Sabbatic Goat. And it's become the most well-known image of the Baphomet. Many might know, many of you guys might know it as the as above, so below Baphomet, where he's sitting with his legs crossed with his right arm pointing up and his left arm pointing down.
Yeah.
That was his version of the Baphomet. He drew it in a fucking in his grimoire. It's like, this is the Baphomet that I am gonna worship.
Here's my little doodle.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, remember back when the Templars were said to worship the Baphomet? They just had the head of a goat, but the rest was body of man. Levi's version had hooped feet and black wings as well. This is Levi's beautiful description of his Baphomet.
Phantom of all terrors, dragon of Theogenes, the Ahriman of the Persians, the Typhoon of the Egyptians, the Python of the Greeks, the old serpent of the Hebrews, the fantastic monster, the nightmare, the gargoyle, the great beast of the Middle Ages, and worse than all of these, the Baphomet of the Templars, the bearded idol of the alchemist, the goat of the Sabbath.
And believe it or not, it was this depiction of the sabbatical goat that inspired the image for the devil in the tarot cards.
Huh. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that
same image?
So the man who created the tarot card, his name is Arthur Edward White. Uh-huh. And he discovered Levi's work in 1881. And by 1886, he had it all translated into English. So Arthur continued to study spiritualism and the occult, and in 1910, he released his tarot cards, and he drew inspiration from that goat for his devil, and had his illustrator, Pamela Coleman, turn the hooves into claws, like that, like those of a gargoyle, and change the face into one more closely associated to a beast, but everything else is exactly the same. He's still standing. He's still doing the as above, so below sign. Mm-hmm. His legs are still crossed, and he still has the wings. The only difference is his feet aren't hooves; they're actually claws, and his face looks more like a beast and less like a goat. Mm. But that also didn't help. That also, that imagery is like, oh, Baphomet, the devil. Oh, okay. So that's where the connection. So you're slowly starting to see the connection of how you're starting to warping, and to finally you're like, oh, that's where we see the connection with the devil. Mm. So now we can start seeing how an innocent, goofy-looking animal like the goat became slowly associated with the devil himself. How it was the church early on needing a scapegoat and using Pan to tighten their grip on the locals. How kings used the goat-headed deity Baphomet as a means to not paying his debt. It also didn't help that Aleister Crowley started Thelema, with Levi's work being a huge inspiration for him. So much so that the Baphomet became the central figure of his masses and their creed. So there you go, folks. That's how one stupid looking animal became one of the easiest ways to make your movie look a lot more interesting than it really was. And with that, I'm going to end this episode with my favorite part from the Creed of Thelema.
And I believe in the serpent and the lion, mystery of mysteries. In his name, Baphomet.
So that's how we're going to end our satanic episode, nice. Where we talk about all things Satan.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you ever want to get back to the devil, you can fuck a goat. Which means you fuck the devil.
Is that how you're looking at it?
Same.
Out of everything, this is what you took from it. Out of everything we said.
Yeah, there you go.
So thank you, everybody. And as always, we are the Weird History. Here we tell us pod.
Ooh.